I'm Gavin Munro, we're full grown and we grow trees directly into the shapes of chairs and tables and lamps. We were in the Saturday Times and that seemed to start off a bit of an avalanche of media interest from all over the world. We called the Department for International Trade. Lady came out, she really broke it down, helping us know what to do and in what order. And it meant that we could get our products to America, which was one of the main areas of interest. If we can, you can. Search, exporting is great.
I'm Ian Dell from Chemion Technology. We export all over the world. We got a big inquiry in from Italy for our insect repellent. Knowing absolutely nothing, speaking hardly a word of the language, the Department for International Trade have helped us out directly with finance and support with market knowledge and market studies. Jumping on a plane to see that Italian customer was probably the best business decision we ever made. If we can, you can. Search, exporting is great.
For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Rawr Barlow. Our kind of mess saying, just saying. Megan, you can't have a burger without the burg.
And also our super premium sponsors.
Our lucky little grant hopper, Kelly Grant.
And Lizzie Drucker. She's a fine mother.
We love you guys.
Hello and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye old browse. I'm Ronnie Karam from the Rose Bricks Bachelor podcast and TrashTalkTV.com, and here is the gorgeous, talented, amazing, thin, and now coffeed up, Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing quite well. I'm not sure that I could really qualify as thin anymore after this week I had just spent in New York, where just one big old meal after another, topped off by my friend Nicole. I didn't eat Nicole up for a meal, but basically she got married. Delicious. I had Nicole a la mode. Nicole got married on Saturday.
Oh,
Nicole
congrats, is also babes.
She's also an avid listener of the podcast, and she came to our Tuesday show. But she got married, and man, that wedding, the food, I have not been that full in a few years. I went to town. I was a little, deranged at the cocktail hour. There was so much food. I mean, there was, cheeseburgers, but there were the pigs in a blanket, but there were oysters, there were shrimp cocktail and clams. I mean, I was a rabid lunatic. It was great. I mean, that was cocktail.
As you should be. That's a good wedding when you get fed like that.
Yeah, it was a great, great time. So congratulations, Nicole. Everyone in the Crappens world, give a big hearty congrats to Nicole.
Yeah, congrats, girl.
Yeah, we love when our listeners go through milestone moments. So don't we? I hope.
It just sounded funny.
That did sound funny. I was like, why am I saying this? Why am I plot? I was like,
we love milestone moments.
We're so here for a milestone. Here's a milestone moment. We are going to Houston in 2 weeks.
God, I think it's less than 2 weeks.
I'm looking at ye old calendar. Hello, it's next week. We just got back and we're going to Houston next week.
Wait, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait.
Yay!
No, is it? Yeah, it is.
Texas.
It's next week.
Well, next that week is going to be a really fun show. So if you haven't bought your tickets, they're low. So go buy them now. We're going to be covering the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Season 1 classic, Dinner Party from Hell. Know that.
And by the way, we are selling our Crappens magnets there. The Crappens poetry, which you can only get at the live shows for the time being. And we're on our second printing of those. There have been a few little changes. Some words have been swapped out. So definitely come get your Crappens poetry. And then 2 weeks after that, we're going to Detroit. We need to let's get like a big Detroit, Michigan party. If you're in that area, if you're in the Detroit area, come to our show. Tickets are at watchatcrappens.com. And then in April, in mid-April on the 15th, we are doing a show at the Irvine Improv in Orange County. And we have something actually pretty cool lined up. It's going to involve a giveaway or a few giveaways, and it involves something that you've seen on TV.
I can't give clues because I'll just give it away.
Yeah, but anyway, bring
it's not a car, so you know.
Yeah, it's not a car. It's not Pumptini's, but it is something actually like we're really. It's gonna be cool. Yes. We'll announce what that is when we can, which should be pretty soon. But I'm excited for it. I'm excited for it.
Mata. Now, until then, this is our Monday episode, and you might remember last Monday's episode sounded like shit because I was staying in a, you know.
Sounded fine.
Decent youth hostel made out of cement in bed. Okay, so this week I brought the plague back from New York. I'm sick. So I'm in my adjustable hospital bed at home. So it's the second Real Housewives of Atlanta episode I've done from a bed.
That's okay. That's okay, because a lot of us are listening from a bed. I'm doing it from my Shannon Bador chair, which I don't know if it can still do the Shannon noise, because the last time I did the Shannon noise was in the old apartment. It may have lost its Shannon quality. Let's see if I can make it happen. No, it's quiet now. Oh, wow. The Shannon chair.
It's because she got rid of David.
David. Oh, it's not. I'm trying all different positions. I'm getting like little, oh. I heard a little minor Shannon.
No.
It's gone.
You need to keep David out of this house, okay? Your chair is celebrating David finally being gone.
The chair is eating something right now, basically.
So we are still in Barcelona, Spain, with the Real Housewives of Atlanta. And
yeah.
This episode opens with new girl Ava.
Eva.
Darling, Eva. You can't just make up your own name, okay? Her name was Eva Perón.
Ava Perón. It opens with the ghost of Ava Perón is wandering through the halls of the Airbnb.
Okay, Eva is going door to door, going, "You want coffee?
You want some coffee?
You want coffee? Hey, Kim, you want some coffee?" She's talking to the wig in a bowl.
Yeah. You want some coffee? This is her story arc, is getting someone to actually drink coffee with her.
And no one will. They won't even open the door. Except for, of course, Sheree.
Yeah.
Who's in the basement. And Sheree's like, "Coffee? I don't want to. You got coffee?"
Sheree is very happy to receive a visitor. And she's like, "Oh, it's like a, oh." You know, I'm sorry. I started to do Tom Colicchio back. You know, it's a fine line between Sheree and Tom Colicchio.
Yeah. In real life and in Crappin's voices.
It's true.
They're just alike.
She's like, "I'm squished. I'm in a twin bed. My back is going to be..." No, I'm just doing Tom Colicchio.
She's like, "I'm so not happy right now. Look at this room." And Ava goes, she's a little collegiate. And Sheree says, "My back hurts." "Yes, Sheree, we get it. You're suing somebody for back money, okay?"
Yeah. Apparently twin beds and Bravo stars do not mix.
Or Sheree and anything that she can sue you over, because she will. She will. Yeah. She's probably going to sue the owner of this Airbnb for twin bed back issues.
Yeah, so exactly.
If anyone can do that, Sheree can, okay?
Yeah. I spent all last week sleeping in a twin bed, and my back feels fine. My legs, on the other hand, but that's a different issue. My legs already were hurting.
I was in a twin bed. It was amazing. I had pillows lining either side of my body, and I felt like I was in a coffin. Which basically, you know, death is just like a really long nap, and I love naps, so you can't scare me, death.
The only problem I have with a twin bed is that it's really easy to displace the mattress, I found. That, like, now that I'm a grown man, like, I find that, like, when I turn over, like, the mattress, I sort of take the mattress with me a little bit, a few inches. And so, like, by the end of the night, the mattress is, like, hanging over. And, like, there were a few times when I almost, like, the whole thing, we almost just were slid out of bed together.
Well, not Sheree. I slept on a cot. A cot in a room with bars on the windows. Tyrone is sleeping better than me.
Tyrone's so, like, "Ooh, baby, I'll fix it for you, baby." Ooh, Tyrone.
Click.
Yeah.
Your time has run out. So this is the biggest shocker, I think, so far. I mean, it's only 1 minute into the episode, but it's a huge shocker. Candy is first at the breakfast buffet. Okay.
Yeah. Eating some, like, potatoes.
They keep doing a close-up of Candy's plate, which is so shady. But it is really, I think, on the top of everybody's mind. Like, what the hell is Candy eating, and where can I get some? She's like, a crepe, a potato, an egg, a bagel. Like, that girl buffet is like me.
Yeah, she was ready. And I have to say, the food did not look actually that good. But she was like, whatever, I'm starving. I'm going to eat this right now.
Did you notice that she makes Ben noises? She ate what? Something and she went, mm-hmm. And I'm like, ugh.
Is that what I do?
Yeah, you moan sometimes when you eat. You go,
Yeah, well, you know, the food, sometimes I need it. I need that food. I'm like,
Candy bonded with you. She made the exact bed noise. I was like, oh my God, hugs.
I'm like, Candy, I do your voice and you do my voice. Look.
See? No. Friday, breakfast, brunch, Friday.
Try not to overdo it.
Breakfast, brunch, Friday.
It doesn't even make sense. Breakfast, brunch, rally.
That's her new business. Breakfast, brunch, rally. So we get memories of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills a couple weeks ago, where the camera crew, I guess, just went home or something, because the ladies were all wasted until 3 a.m. Twerking together on video cam, on like cell phone cam.
Yeah, just having a fun time, you know, partying, etc. And apparently, this like late night twerk session smoothed over any tension between Cynthia and Portia, because I'd forgotten that they had gone to a fight. I was like, what tension did they have? But I forgot that Cynthia sort of clapped back at Portia last week about when Portia, like,
just what? In general, not back. She just clapped at her.
She just clapped.
As Cynthia does, because she's too much of a pussy to fight with the real people she's mad at.
Yeah, because Portia, like, had the balls to say, oh, I heard that Will is an opportunist. So Cynthia went after Portia.
Yes.
So, but everything's fine now. Everything's fine. There was a late night twerk session, and you know, life is good. You're in Barcelona. Wow. Life is too short. Wait, it was, I am too fierce and too fabulous to be. What was that one? That life is. Why be petty and when you can be fierce and fabulous?
Who was that?
Anyone? It was one of them at one point.
I think this should be Candy's. I may be. It just ends with her eating plates of food.
Hers is like, please pass the butter. That's just her. She's just like, the camera just see her name, and she's like sitting at a table eating something, reaching for some salt, like ignoring the fact that
she looks sweet, but I'm all.
I may look sweet, but I don't have any sugar. Please pass the sugar, please. Like, that's a clunky line.
She goes, Cynthia's talking about her latent lesbianism a lot this episode.
Yeah.
She's like, sorry, hacked up my lungs.
Oh, wait, what was that?
She's like, yeah. Damn it, I'm sorry, I can't get through a sentence. She's like, y'all gonna drag me to that lady pond one way or another, child. And then we see her like twerking in the middle of the night. And she's like, you know, nothing last night was that deep. And Candy goes, ain't deep for me. It was a pure Candy squeal. Ain't deep for me.
Did Candy do her, you know, her skeptical laugh? She goes, ah!
Oh, God, I can't get that high on a
I promised myself day. I would reduce my Candy impersonation this episode. I promise. I made a pledge. And already it's like we're 5 minutes and I'm like, ah!
That's like Candy being chased down the street by Heavenly with a, you know, rolling pin in her arm, in her hand.
Daddy Riley, Daddy Riley.
Okay, there go the last of our listeners.
It's me, like, laughing emphysema into everybody's face, and you just squealing. It's like,
squealing, squealing. People are like, can we not have as much Candy and all that squealing? Thanks.
So Candy's like, I'm not afraid of Marlo. I don't give a fuck if she's still mad, you know. So Marlo comes in and she's like, hi, Candy. We good today. I still love my candy yams. Candy's like,
I still love my yams too.
Yeah. Candy's like, let me just eat my potatoes in peace, please. Thanks.
So they start talking about all the Kim news. And yeah. Cynthia's like, look, child, what we got here isn't deep, but pics and vids. And Candy's like, now, see, I love Brielle, but sometimes we got to pull our kids to the side and say, sorry, block's not coming. And Sheree's like, Sheree's like, well, the way that she said it, she was just taking a selfie. And Candy goes, that is no selfie.
Yeah, that's bullshit. First of all, there was also an adorable flashback to young Riley and young Ariana being friends together. And I was like, oh, memories. And then, yeah, this bullshit, Brielle saying that she was trying to take a selfie. And then there just happened to be these bugs in the background. I mean, okay, so let's unpack this for a second because it's just totally ridiculous. First of all, why she felt the need to take a selfie in Nini's bathroom is kind of hilarious. And the fact that she made a production about the fact that she, the fact that she had to
Phaedra.
I still said it. But she henceforth the whole Snapchat was that she had to crouch down low because there was a mirror on the bathroom sink. Like cupboard or whatever, and she's like, "Oh, if I want to take a bathroom selfie, I have to get this far low because no bathrooms in here." So first of all,
why you have to squat down with my legs open squat. In front of a mirror, Brielle?
It's like, why are you so desperate to take that selfie? Why is that like? Are you supposed to be like? Is every space supposed to be selfie friendly? Is this like a problem now? Like that there's not an ideal place for you to take a selfie, unfortunately, as opposed to like 2 minutes ago when you took your last selfie. Like, why does this have to be mentioned? Like,
and also, why do you have to take a selfie in front of a mirror? That's the dumbest selfie ever. I hate when people do that.
Yeah,
take a selfie of yourself. I don't want to look at you looking at yourself in the mirror taking.
Well, because you get a better angle when you do it through a mirror sometimes. Because when you take it from yourself, it's like weird angles and whatever. But with a mirror, you can get it the way you want to see it because you're used to seeing yourself in a mirror. That's what I'm saying. But the point is, just like hold on, because maybe there's like another mirror you can do it in, like. Like, I'm sorry there wasn't a mirror for you in this room and your great selfie opportunity has vanished. But I think the people of Snapchat are going to survive if they don't see a new selfie from you within 10 minutes, you know, because you probably just took one 2 minutes ago in like the reflection of a vase because it looked slimming, which is ridiculous because vases are never slimming. But so it's already like,
you really did get your coffee. Damn, boy.
I wasn't going to mention that either, but maybe it was stronger than I realized. Before the show began, I was like, Ronnie, I just made some coffee in my French press and it's really weak, but whatever. Meanwhile, I'm like, and she could take a picture in a vase. No, but for real, she could take a picture in a vase. She could do anywhere. The point is, like, it's not that clever or interesting of an observation that you have to crouch down to take your, like, there's a mirror that's a little bit lower. Like, it's not that interesting. It's not a fascinating point, Brielle. And I say this as someone who makes a lot of very not uninteresting points on a podcast. But that's because we're talking for, like, you know, six hours a week. Chances are sometimes we just have to make an uninteresting comment just to get to the interesting stuff. You know, you got to bridge that gap. But you didn't have to do that. So this is bad content anyway. We're already on a foundation of bad content. And then
don't
you
talk
have the
about
nerve...
foundation, okay? Nini's house is already in trouble.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the copious amounts on Brielle's face. So either way, I mean, seriously, it's like she went to L'Oreal, found a vat, and like dunked her head into it as if she was bobbing for apples and walked around the rest of the day in it. So here's the thing. So she's already got like a stupid piece of content up. And then she has the nerve to tell the story like, oh, I didn't realize there were bugs in the background. We saw the video. She full on zooms in and zooms out. Like that's not how you take a selfie. Here's how you don't take a selfie. Here's how you don't take a selfie in a mirror. You don't train the lens onto the corner of the bathroom and zoom in on the baseboards where there's a bug crawling around, which incidentally was not even a roach. It was like a... Some say what? Well, they were saying water bug. It was to me. It looked like an ant. Like, you know, when ants have wings, that's what it looked like.
Oh my god! Yeah, I think it was just like a little water bug. But now here's the here's the trouble. There are so many videos because Brielle doesn't just go in and take one video. There have been multiple videos. One is Brielle. They didn't show it on this, but I've seen it on El Interneto, where Brielle is taking a selfie, videoing a selfie, and a flying roach flies on her nose.
Well, that good.
And that's the first
takes one to know one.
So I saw that on Ye Olde Internet. Okay, that's out there. So that's one of the videos that they didn't
show. The best
episode. So they're arguing, but it's hard because there's so many pieces of evidence out there. The fact is, I don't really care. But I'd love that Mandy.
I would love it if there was someone named Mandy who came in. Hi, I'm Mandy.
When Tandy Newton came in, just kidding. So Candy caught that it was double shade. She's like, now see, that's double shade. Because she, at first, was showing that there were no mirrors. And that's the most devastating
shade of all. There's no mirrors.
And Sheree goes, well, I ain't talking to someone's kid. And Cynthia goes, that was in a Pope eat.
Yeah, she goes, it is in a you know, I was going to write that down as a note, but I was like, I'm not going to be that petty today. But since you opened the door, Ronnie, yes, she did go.
Cynthia's a dumbass. Like, I'm so sick of Cynthia.
That's inappropriate.
Oh, I'm
inappropriate.
So sick of Cynthia acting like she's so fucking nice and above everything. And she's such an evil, evil, bad friend. I hate her. I've turned on you, Cynthia.
I don't think that she acts like she's above anything. I actually don't think that. I think Cynthia's like... Cynthia, you know, listen, she already has enough to deal with, which is the fact that she's attracted to terrible men. Okay. Like, she has to live with that. She has to live with the fact that she had a super hot boyfriend, Noelle's dad, what's his face. And she wound up with Peter instead. Like, that's a life just choice and decision. That's hard to live with.
What you mean, Fred? What you mean?
Oh, hey? Peter's bro.
Hey, Peter's bro.
But Cynthia is funny because she's like, it's kind of like, she was like, it's inappropriate because, especially given that Kim feels some sort of way about going to people's houses. And they show a clip of, remember, from last year at the dueling, at like the Chateau Charest thing, when Kim was mad at Kenya for going into the basement. And Kim's like, you don't just go into people's houses and go into the basement. You don't just do whatever you want, whatever. So obviously she has some ideas about house etiquette, which, you know, her daughter didn't follow.
Well, Kim is a trashy whore, and Brielle is a trashy whore, too. So there's my general statement on that.
And Brielle turned 21, I think, today, because I saw her crazy face holding up some balloons to say 21. And like, Kim was like, happy birthday, honey bunny, bunkle face. I don't like the idea of really going in on someone's child. But Brielle's 21 now. And she has elected to turn her face into like a popped latex balloon. So that's on her at this point. That's on her.
At least it's not my
really, wow. I'm like state today. Wow.
So we changed subjects for a minute. And Marlo's like, so Eva, did you feel like we were grilling you? And Eva's like, well, being asked about my sexuality in front of everybody might not have been the coolest thing to do to me. And Shamia's like, we're like that in this group, okay? It was already out there. It's not like I made it up. And she goes, well, it wasn't in Barcelona until you brought it here.
No, that Missy Elliott rumor had been there for, like, everyone knew about the Missy Elliott rumor. Also, I like when Shamia said, this is how it goes in this group. I was like, oh, Shamia, you think you're part of the group.
I know.
They just let you come because Kenya and Kim backed out.
Poor Shamia. And she should be. So, sorry, Shamia.
I actually love Shamia. I think Shamia has been, is really one of the great friends of, in Housewives lore. Not that she's, like, amazing. She's just like solid and reliable, you know? She's just there.
Oh, reliable Shamia.
Yeah.
So Eva's like,
she's better than that girl from last
OJ
year.
Because she is thirsty. And then they cut to Shamia, who's drinking OJ. I'm like, Eva, you're really going to have to try harder.
But wasn't there, I'm sorry to go back to this for a second, but wasn't there a girl last year who was like, they were going to like make her a friend of? I think they even took her on the trip and she said like nothing the entire time.
You know what I'm about? They've had so many friends of on this show. Not Tammy, because she said a lot.
Tammy
was amazing.
Tammy is like a little bit of a legend, and she's from the forgotten Kim Field season, and she needs, which I think was a totally underrated season. I actually thought it was a fantastic season. I loved the Kim Fields era, but yeah, there was this other girl. It doesn't matter. She's forgotten.
Yeah, they do that a lot on this show. It's a constant audition on this show. So Candy's like, well, to be fair, Shamia wouldn't have known your rule until you told her. And Eva's like, I don't have rules or triggers, but my boyfriend is running for public office. I'm like, bitch, shut up with your fucking not even mayor. and you're getting on here acting all high and mighty. You are on the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Who are you?
Yeah, I mean, Eva, I'm this is coming from a place of love because I do love you, Eva, and I've supported you for many years. But you have to know the moment you agree to go on the Real Housewives of Atlanta, you have basically torpedoed his political career. Like, it's over. He is not winning political office until he's done with you. Like, it's done. I'm sorry.
I don't know, because that's a very Atlanta, hello, they're like a reality capital of America.
But here she is, but meaning that she's like she's worried about, like, oh my god, like, my boyfriend's running for office and you're saying these things. You're going on Atlanta. This is like the lightest. This is the lightest. Yeah. It's going to get much worse for you. You will go through the ringer.
And they tell her, and it's so good. And she goes, well, if I'm ready to open up about something. And Marla goes,
there it is. Can't ask her nothing. I'm Marlo.
She ain't gonna answer questions.
I guess Marlo really outshines Shamia in the friend of department. Marlo is actually probably Hall of Fame friend of.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, up there with like the Kim D's and the Kim G's and the Dana's.
Well, Marlo's one of those girls that you're like, I can't, you know, she behaves herself for a while and it makes you think, oh my gosh, she's so nice and so fun. Why isn't she a regular? I forgot. And then this episode happens and you're like, they probably can't get her ass insured.
Yeah.
Like, that bitch is crazy.
She's a disaster. Remember, she was going to come onto our show at one point. Remember, we were going to interview her and then she just totally flaked.
Yeah, and then we cut her ass off because she was so fucking late.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we don't wait. And that was episode like 23. So you can imagine now.
Yeah, that was when we were just happy if we could have interviewed the UPS guy. We'd be like, hey, you want to come on the podcast?
Well, don't you remember that girl was like, okay, she's going to be 15 minutes late. And we're like, okay, she needs another 30 minutes. Okay, she needs an hour. And I was like, no. No.
No, 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 no.
No, 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 no.
No, we don't play that.
Of course I remember, because like Pepperidge Farm, I always remember. Pepperidge Farm remembers, okay? I never forget. Like an elephant.
What? I didn't know that Pepperidge Farm held such grudges. I was like, I was just eating some goldfish right before the podcast, and I was like,
oh,
Pepperidge
Farm. Oh, they remember. They remember you eating them. Trust. You will pay for that.
They were extra cheesy. Do you know they have extra cheesy goldfish now?
Yeah, but still, if you eat too many of them, you're like, I'm basically eating cardboard dust. Like, you start tasting it through the fake cheese taste. Trust, I have binged on lots of goldfish.
I think Pepperidge Farm, now that I think about it, may be one of my favorite brands of all time.
You're officially cracked out of your head.
No, it is. Think about it. Think about it, Ronnie. Geneva cookies, fabulous. Brussels cookies, fabulous. Milano's cookies, they're so fabulous that there's like subsets of Milano's. Like orange chocolate Milano's, mint chocolate Milano's, double chocolate Milano's. All fabulous. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. It's a great brand. And that's just on their fancy cookie division. They have all those chocolate chip cookies, like the Sausalitos and the Nantuckets.
Oh, my God. You really love your cookies. It kind of makes me upset that you're that thin and you know this much about cookies. I'm like, Milano? Am I supposed to be saying which is better than what? I didn't know those were all owned by Pepperidge Farms.
You lie. You lie.
No, I don't lie.
You lie. Have you never gotten a Pepperidge Farm variety pack?
Oh my god. I quit. just kidding.
Well, so as Marlo
says,
she always comes out. Wait, no. Before Nini comes out, Marlo. So when you know, they're saying like, oh, wow, well, Eva doesn't want to talk. Marla goes, well, the truth always comes out. Portia knows about this. And Portia just turns to the camera and goes, what?
She goes, yeah, I said you're going to backpedal. But you know what? Why does we'll talk about this when the episode goes on. Never mind. I'll hold it. So yeah, Nini comes out. She's like,
hello, everybody. I am hosting breakfast. You are welcome for everything I've done for you. Now, I know you have problems with this place, and I can't put it all on Cynthia because, you know, she likes a bargain.
Just like, what are you talking about? As she eats her off-brand breakfast food. I got something called Oreos, Glorious.
As she pulls out Tupperware from her purse to take the rest of the breakfast in.
By the way, I have to say before you, I know you've been really trying to move into this Nini part, but I just have to say with the backpedaling joke. So Portia goes, when Marlo brings up the thing about backpedaling, Portia's like, I don't want to be the butt of a backpedal joke because that's not me. And I was like, I love that. It's a very specific request. I don't want to be the butt of a backpedal joke. And then Candy, this cracked me up. Candy goes, see, Riley. Portia backpedals so much she might as well moonwalk out of the room. Anytime somebody asks her a question, and I just was imagining Portia just like actually moonwalking out of her room in every scene.
You know, Candy's not the most gifted dancer, and you know that choreographer is trying to teach her how to do the moonwalk, or just like, okay, it's like walking backwards.
Like this?
No, Candy. Okay, it's like backpedaling.
No.
Like, just go, Candy. Okay, just stand there and move back and forth. So that's still her frame of reference.
So anyway, I just thought that line was very funny. It needed to be highlighted on a podcast format.
Well, Nini basically got everybody hotel rooms. And then Everybody is so rude. They get up and start screaming like, woohoo, we get to leave this dump.
You know that lady is going to like come back tonight and be like, oh, hola, ladies, I made some paella. She has like a giant paella pan and the whole villa is just like empty, like flapping curtains. It's all sad. The sad plight of the villa lady. So now they all get on the bus to go sightseeing, and Cynthia is like resurrecting the 50 cent bucket list challenge. By the way, Ronnie, last week were you complaining that Cynthia had misspelled 50 cent?
I just don't like the way she spells it. It's
okay.
It's 50 cynth. That's 50 cynth.
Yeah, no, I know. Someone on Twitter was like, just so you know, the synth stands for Cynthia. And I was like, I know that, but wait, were we complaining that we didn't know that?
We know what it stands for.
Okay, I just want to clarify that we know.
50 cent for Cynthia, leave off the H. Yeah. Do not try and tell me I don't know what Cynthia Twitter. You think I don't fucking know what means Cynthia? Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm like, she's really trying to be 50 cent?
Social media is coming for us this week. I'm telling you. I'm really telling
you. You know who's coming for Marlo? The gate. Marlo cracks me up. So they're about to get in this big van and the gate is closed. And she goes, the door's closed. And then the gate opens and she goes, the door's open.
She's observing some basic things from her surroundings.
Sky is blue today. Hair is soft.
Oh my god. Okay, so the 50 cent challenge. She's like, hey everybody, don't forget that I had these papers made that hashtag my Instagram, so please show them on close up. And Marlo's like, I did mine last night. And Portia goes, it didn't count because it was not Instagram. I was like, that is basically this entire show.
Yeah, exactly. That's here we are complaining about Brielle, but look what she was raised amongst.
Yes. She was raised amongst the need for tap-tap hearts.
Brielle should maybe transition over to Vanderpump Rules. That might be a good fit for her. Except that it means that you actually have to do work.
Really?
Fake work. Okay, she doesn't have to do anything. She could just stand around. You know, sort of like refill the Taco Bell tower.
So we get a bunch of butt dancing, twerking videos from the night before, blah, 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 blah. And then, of course, we get to, don't kiss a girl, Cynthia. You know you want to. And then she's like, well, if I'm going to tongue a girl down, I get to pick. Come here, Candy. Blah, 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 blah. Candy goes, I am not kissing any more girls in this circle. Lesson learned.
Yeah. So instead, it's Portia volunteers to kiss Cynthia. And then there's this whole dilemma of like, is it going to be a regular, just like a normal kiss, or is it going to be with tongue, etc.? And so there's some miscommunication because Cynthia thinks it's with tongue and Portia thinks it's not with tongue. So they start to kiss. And then Cynthia, like, her mouth starts to open up a little bit and Portia's like, ew, ew. And Candy's reaction was amazing. She's like, see, yeah, Portia. Stop playing. You're a pro at this. Get over there and stick your tongue in the mouth just like you did me. So man, good.
I'm trying not to have a lung collapse. Sorry.
No, no.
There's
okay.
So much happens in this show.
Candy was on fire. Her one-liners were really good this week.
So there was that weird statue guy. I don't know. And Borch is like,
oh, yeah.
And Marlo's like, don't touch that thing.
Yeah, well, because Cynthia was like, cha, there's some cutie pies hanging around here. And then they cut to the guy basically covered in oil and barnacles floating. It's like, I think Barcelona has some more to offer.
Like what?
These little yellow cars that you just drive around. And apparently, I guess they give little, like, it's like a tour. Like when you drive around certain areas, it's like, over here on the left is the such and such building. And over here on the right is the Sagrada Familia, whatever.
And Sheree just keeps slamming on her brakes, hoping someone will rear end her so she can sue them.
But the best is Portia and Shamia are laughing at Cynthia because Cynthia's wearing a shirt that says Naomi, Cindy, Linda, Claudia, Christy, and Kate. And Cynthia wrote in, and Cynthia, 50 Cent, 50 Cent, Cynthia. And they're just like laughing that she wrote in her name with the other like super, super, super models.
Yeah, Portia's like, you go ahead and nudge your name next to Naomi's, girl.
I mean, Cynthia is a supermodel, and she, you know, she's great, beautiful, but I mean, ciao, you're not at that level, ciao. I'm hoping that's some, you're coughing. I know. You're
yeah,
coughing.
I died. I'm dying coughing. I'm so sorry. Just, I keep doing just, that. No, because it's like a really horrible, like,
but just cough away from the mic so that way people don't think it's dead air. That way, when I make my like really wonderful jokes and then there's like an awkward silence, I don't feel like, oh my God. This is it. This is the end of the podcast. Ronnie's like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I have like an instant micro spiral. Don't do that to me. Anyway, speaking of micro spirals, the streets
like
of Barcelona.
That?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was
yeah.
horrible. Who wants to listen to me hack?
I think we want to be there for your journey.
To death. So they're riding the carts. And of course, Portia rear ends some dude. And Candy goes, how do Dingbat do that?
Now driving safety. I can't stop doing candy impersonations, even though people say they get annoyed with them. I can't help myself. Don't want no candy impersonation. Don't need no candy impersonation. Riley.
Portia goes,
I was hitting
the brake,
guy.
Not the gas. It slid out of nowhere, and it was a freak of nature. And then I hit the car. I swear.
The guy's like, just get in the other car. And she goes,
could you check the brakes?
I'm like, first of all, don't, like, how many times has she used these excuses? She's one of those people that uses these crazy cockamamie excuses when she gets in trouble. First of all, she hit the camera guy, so it's like no big deal. Second of all, she's like, you just know anytime she gets pulled over,
I was driving just right, but then like I was trying to drive to the left and then the road suddenly switched to the right, and I was like, how did the road change? You gotta check the road, make sure it's not moving on its own. You gotta check it. There was a fork in the road.
Like, oh my God, Portia. So Portia goes,
there's something wrong with that car.
And Candy goes, yeah, you was driving it. Oh my God. So then Portia starts driving again and she goes,
oh my God, the world is spitting in my face.
And she opens her fan and covers her face with her fan while she's driving. So that's
not going to help. That's not how to not get into an accident.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So then they wind up at La Boqueria Market. And by the way, Shamia looked crazy. I didn't realize until now because she's wearing these like short shorts, but also these boots. What? Not boots, but they're, what do you call them when you're wearing?
Polio leg braces.
Yeah, it's like the straps. I don't know if it was a boot or
they
if it
look
was
like
a heel with like a gladiator thing, but like the straps go all the way up to your knees. They look sort of hookerish.
I was like someone's an anti-vaxxer because that girl got polio.
This is her last gas was going to La Boqueria, but she it's not that she looked like a hook, but it's not that only hookers wear those shoes. It's just that like if not worn correctly, you look sort of like a hooker. And by the way, I support prostitution, so there's that. But I'm just saying she looked a little crazy.
Yeah, she looked like a hooker with polio. Let's just compromise.
Polio. My Aunt Marcy had polio. How dare you?
It's a hard knock life for ow. Oh, I thought of polio because who had polio in Annie? Oh, I guess Roosevelt. He didn't have polio. What am
my
I
Aunt Marcy.
About?
My Aunt Marcy. My Aunt Marcy. Is that what you're talking about? Aunt Marcy.
Oh my God, I'm officially delirious. I'm sorry, Aunt Marcy.
Rest in peace, Aunt Marcy. Yeah. Anyway, so they get into this, it's like a market, it's like Grand Central Market here in LA, but like in the Barcelona version, and they sit down at the table and they've got a waiter, and Portia's trying to order basically Hennessy and Coke in Spanish, and she's like,
hable inglés, Hennessy el Coca-Cola Diablo, necesito, por favor.
And she's looking on her phone, she's like, do you have Oh Blame the Henny?
Hola. I got no tengo dinero, caballero. Pesos.
And here we are again with the ignorant ass Americans eating. Okay, this is every Bravo show. It's so embarrassing to watch them. All this food starts coming to the table and they get shrimp. Okay, prawns. No, shrimp. Prawns? Yeah. Shrimp, prawns.
It could have been either one. You never know.
And Sheree goes,
Langoustines.
Sheree goes, will you take the heads off?
But she was actually really nice about it. She's like, thank you so much. Nice. Thank you so much. She wasn't like doing a whole thing like, ooh, gross. She was really nice. Of course, I've made my stance on shrimp heads very clear, which is that I love them. I love me a shrimp head. I do. Not that anyone asked. I just felt like offering that up because it seemed contextually important.
I'm not ignoring you. I'm flipping through notes trying to see
Portia, all this food comes,
and there's an octopus that comes, and Portia's like,
I love when you're
when I'm like, I have no idea where I am, and then I find it.
No, but like sometimes when you are like in your notes, you're very like in your notes because you'll just start saying something that I'm saying. So I'm like, so all this food comes. And you're like, so all this food comes. Like Ronnie's in the zone.
Well, I write my notes like you speak. You're in my head, Ben. Get out. Okay, so all this food comes and Portia's like, she gets a big old octopus and she goes,
I'm a baby vegan. A baby vegan that backslipped into this octopus. And I don't care. And yes, I'm defensive about it.
I'm like, did you backpedal into it or backslip into it?
how about Nini, who thought that paella was papaya? She's like, is that my papaya? Is that my papaya? And the producers actually put the subtitle on, so that way we were sure to see that when they said, and the paella is here, and she goes, is that my papaya? So what's the best thing to talk about when you're eating food? Roaches. So it's back to roach conversation. And Sheree's like, huh? Who even has roaches anymore? You got roaches? You got roaches? I haven't seen nobody with no roaches in a long time. And then they cut to Sheree killing a roach at Chateau Sheree like last week.
And screaming. It was like last season when she couldn't even go in her house. She's just filming on the porch, sweeping like, oh, you can come in any moment. Any moment now. Cameras, you can leave. You can leave, cameras. You can leave now. And yeah, there's the roach. And Nini goes, do people even have roaches these days? No, roaches have all gone extinct.
Yeah,
Brielle is just a trashy lying whore. Okay,
we finally fixed the roach problem. It's it only took about like 65 billion years, but we finally got rid of them. So Nini's talking about the roach situation with Brielle, and she's like, "That is as low as you can possibly go." I'm like, "Now, I may be wrong, but I think we can go a lot lower than taking a Snapchat of a roach in the bathroom." You know, like, it can get a lot nastier and a lot meaner, and you've probably been the one to do it.
Yeah, exactly. You've personally gone way, way lower, honey.
Yeah. And then he's like, you know, I think it's, you know, it's up to a friend to go up to a friend and say, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. A friend should go up to a friend and say, that's wrong. I'm like, yeah, I mean, yes, you're right. But, like, watch the day that someone does that to you, Nini. Watch someone say to you, Nini, hey, Nini, that was wrong. And let's see how you react to that.
This is so typical Nini. She starts yelling at the whole table because they weren't standing up for her. And she's like you, Portia, you were on the phone having that conversation. You know, I know we had our problems, but I'm like, oh, really? But you had your problems that weren't even about you. You screamed and yelled at her about candy shit for the first two or three times you saw her, made her cry every single fucking time. Like, you're making people feel sorry for Portia, and there's no explaining what she did. So fuck you. You're such a fucking bitch. She's such a hypocrite. And, like, Portia's supposed to just start rolling over for Nini. Not gonna happen. But they all just start jumping on Portia. What'd Portia do? Except get some eye glue in her, you know,
eyelash glue in her eye. Poor Portia. I'm always here for you, Portia.
She broke the oath of being a baby vegan. That's what she did. She had octopus. She was feeling tentacles. She wanted tentacles, but she, you know, there will be tentacle temptation all your life. But if you're going to be a baby vegan, you need to stick to it. Okay.
Yeah. Poor Portia.
And then Nini turns her attention to Sheree because now Nini's sort of like in an alliance building mode because she wants people to turn against Kim. That's why she's being nice to Portia again. And so now she turns to Sheree, wants Sheree to have a conversation with Kim. And she's like, Miss Sheree Wigfield, being the wig that she is, trying to crawl out.
She knows she's wrong. And then Sheree, because they're trying to make Sheree vow in front of the whole table that she's going to yell at Kim for them, right?
Right.
So she's like, Sheree, you're going to have a conversation with Kim, right? And Sheree's like, yes, of course. I will have a conversation with Kim.
You have a conversation?
Immediately. I'm recording this right now. She's on FaceTime under the table. And Candy's like, and that it was wrong what she did because she reads Sheree, you know? Sheree's like, I just said I had to have a conversation. That's all. I told her everything you said. And she's like, well, I will say what we discussed. Yeah. And yeah.
Nini starts saying how Nini, of course, is now playing Miss Innocent. Like, as far as I knew, I never had a beef with Kim. Like, no, like everything was fine. There was no beef. But when she took that picture, the handicap spot, when I parked in the handicap spot, that was months ago before there was anything. So she was just like, basically, she's like going to take a picture and then she was going to pull it out for when she needed it. And I'm like, I do believe that. I don't believe that they didn't have a beef. I believe that they did have a beef. I do believe that Kim is the type of person who's going to like get dirt whenever she sees it and hold on to it. But at the same time, I think when you're friends with Nini, you kind of have to have it because they have such nasty, brutal fights that you just have to equip yourself whenever you can.
Yeah, I think the only way that Nini loses is that she actually says the words, she was banking it. And I'm like, Kim doesn't bank anything.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is why she will be the first riches to rags housewife.
Yeah.
It's filmed like on her new reality show, Living Behind a Dumpster, at some point.
Yeah, Kim doesn't understand the concept of depositing things unless it's something involving her lips.
Capital what?
What's in your wallet? No, seriously, what's in your wallet? Can I have it? She also subscribes to the American Express. Kim's like, oh, I don't eat beef. That's why.
I'm a vegan, a chicken vegan. So
I have an American Express card. Don't leave home without it. And by American Express, I mean Croy. American Express.
Nini's like, well, it turns out that we found three roaches, and their names are Kim, Croy, and Brielle. It's like, oh, Jesus.
I was like, Jesus. I'm quietly snickering to myself just because I like the idea of calling Kim a roach. I don't know why. It's just simple. It's a simple pleasure.
I have a serious problem happening here.
What's that? What's wrong?
My call recorder is saying 12 minutes and 35 seconds. Okay, something happened at 1:47. I guess it skipped it. Okay, good. It looks like we still have our video. Okay, so we can finish.
Oh yeah, because sometimes that happens where like it'll stop and then start up again.
Oh,
you want to check to see
the crap out of me.
I know. You want me to record something just in the back? I'll just hit
record. Always when I'm recording, always record a backup because
I forget.
If we have to talk Real Housewives of Atlanta again, my head will explode.
But we're also in such a. But we have all the audio or most of the audio.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, good, good,
good, good. Good.
So now the conversation pivots to this Marlo situation, and now this is where it gets really good because we get one of our pettiest fights of all time. So now talking about this Kim Zolciak situation, Marlo wants to know if Portia's going to talk to Kim. And Portia's like, I don't really want to talk to Kim about it. She's like, you know, she's a new friend. I'm getting to know her. I don't want to hold her feet to the fire, et cetera. And Portia makes a really good point to us, which is that Kim and Nini just take each other down. They take each other down. They cut each other down, 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 down. And the next day, they're best friends. And she's like, I don't want to get in the middle of it because I'm going to be the one that gets burned. So I think it's a good logic on her part. But Marlo is now getting mad at Portia because Portia is saying that she doesn't want to get involved. There's a lot of crosstalk. It gets a little hard to follow, but Marlo is mad.
Well, Marlo has learned that she is either Nini's attack dog or she's not going to shoot on the show. And that's it. Yeah.
You know, she can either do what Nene says or she's out. So she's very publicly to everybody saying, especially Portia, you're going to say something, right? You're going to say something. No, why doesn't Nene fucking say something? Because Nene will not ever fight with somebody who will fight back with her. She turns into a complete blobber bot, can't make a damn sentence, and just starts shaking her finger and then leaves.
And Nene could have, if Nene was actually like calm and mature and said, listen, Kim, you know, I don't think it was right for your daughter to do that. Like, she could have just said that. And I think maybe, Kim, I don't know if Kim would have listened because, you know, she's like, you know, it's Kim. She's forced onto herself. But I don't know why. I don't know why Kim would listen to anyone else. So Portia says something like, you want me to go talk with Kim? And Marlo's like, no, I asked a question. I asked a question. I didn't say you have to do it. I said, I asked a question. You know, because these girls, they loved getting caught up in semantics, you know? And so Portia's like, you need to chill. And she's like, you need to eat healthier and quit being a fake vegan. So now it's all of a sudden, you know, now it's starting to get tense, right?
Yeah, now it's morals and veganism. Okay, let's remember the timeline of events here. They go to this party. The daughter takes pictures of roaches or whatever on the Snapchat. They are not released, I don't think, at that time. When Nene went off about Kim over and over, didn't want her to come on camera in front of everybody, then was in the van going, well, she's had every kind of health issue ever, a stroke of this and that, of this and that.
Yeah.
Then they told Kim about that. That's when Kim went and got that video and put it out. And that's why Nene is having a fucking cow. Because don't you remember when Kim was on the phone? She goes, what? Where's that video? I'm finding it right fucking now. And then she went and posted it. So fuck you, Nene. And stop acting like you didn't start this whole thing.
Yeah, well, but the thing is, it was still a Snapchat that Brielle made. Like, it still was
roaches
a snap
in Nene's bathroom. So, I mean, you can say her kid's an asshole, but the only reason Kim did keep it in until Nene fucked with her.
But you know what, though, Nene,
she put it out there on the internet.
By the way, no. But it's not as simple as that, because Nene didn't fuck with Kim. Nene was just like, oh, yeah, Kim, she always has this or that or whatever. Like, she was basically like, she was kind of saying what, honestly, anyone would say behind Kim's back in that situation, because Kim always has an excuse. It's not wrong at all. And she wasn't being nasty. I mean, maybe Kim would interpret it as nasty because, like, those are my whole things. No, not any nastier than, like, I mean, don't you have a friend? I know plenty of people, it's like, they always have an excuse why they can't do so every single time. And so you're just like, oh, they always have an excuse. It's always this. It's always that. That's what it was. I'm sorry. Maybe it was a little nastier because there were some health things involved. But Kim, what Kim did was more outsized than what Nene was saying.
I'm going to explain this in Star Wars terms. The Kimpire strikes back.
Okay. Well, either way, Portia thinks that Marlo should confront Kim because Marlo's saying that Portia should talk to Kim, and Portia's like, well, why don't you do it? Marlo's like, well, I'm not IG friends with her. And then
she said, aren't you friends with Kim?
Oh, yeah,
and she
sorry,
goes,
she's only
I'm Instagram friends with her.
Yeah, but that's it, you know? And then she starts to sort of explain things like, sometimes in life, you know, you don't like things, whatever. Like, there were certain things in your home that I didn't like. I felt your doormat should have been larger. But I would never be a messy bitch and take a picture of it. I was like, thanks for pointing. And in my mind, I'm like laughing because I'm like, I can't believe that the doormat, the stupid throwaway comment about the doormat from last episode or a few episodes ago, she's actually referencing that. Like, she actually took mental note, be like, that doormat was not proportionally large. So that, as we say in Hebrew at Passover, Dayenu, that would have been enough. That would have been funny enough. But no, the doormat thing then took over.
Yes. Well, didn't Portia say, well, you also said that Cynthia's house is furnished by IKEA. And Cynthia goes, pardon me. Not all of my furniture came from IKEA. Okay. Not that I have a problem with IKEA. Now, nod to Sweden. Okay. My furniture came from Sweden, child.
Yeah, that was funny. It is kind of funny that she has so much IKEA furniture. I mean, by the way, when Marlo was saying about the doormat, Portia goes, well, that's nice. That didn't hurt my feelings at all. I'm like, your feelings are hurt about, like, her saying your doormat was slightly too small, you know?
Well, then Nene starts going, I cannot believe people would criticize a house. It is crazy to me.
Yeah, tell her not to turn on HGTV. She's just like furious at House Hunters. That is wrong. That
What is
she's
wrong?
Screaming at port? Wait, she's screaming at Kim when her friend Marlo just made fun of someone's welcome mat.
Yeah. So now this Cynthia show. Cynthia starts razzing Portia. She's like, now, chop. Now I know I got my IKEA, but guess what? IKEA's got a large doormat. You can get a large. I'm just saying, you can get a larger doormat at my IKEA. You can get a larger one there. And Portia just starts to cry. And I was like, wait, what? Huh? And she's like, no, it's just that my mom got me the doormat, and it means a lot to me. I'm like, girl, she probably saw it at the supermarket and bought it for you, and probably says, welcome home. Okay.
It's sentimentals.
And Eva's like, who cares about the doormat? I'm sorry. What's happening?
What's happening? I wrote that down too, because she's just like, I'm sorry. What's happening?
Does this have anything to do with local politics? Thought not. I will stick to my muscles. Okay, thanks.
Does anyone want coffee now?
So Marlo is like, Candy knows what you went through. You know how you're crying now. You know, now you understand what Candy went through when she was crying. I was like, wait, are you comparing Portia's tears over a welcome mat?
Over a doormat. To what Candy went through. Well, because Marlo was saying, you know, when someone lies, when someone attacks something that's very special to you, now you know what it feels like.
Good. So yeah. Then Portia starts just snapping back, but she does stay pretty calm, which I'm impressed by. And before we get into this big fan conversation, I would like to say I was prepared for this because I saw that fan in Portia's hand and I thought, uh-oh, she did not put that fan in Marlo's face. She did not even flick it outside of her own box of personal space.
Mm.
Please continue.
Oh, yeah. So Portia has this fan. She's fanning, etc. And she's like, Portia's like, you want to shame me about what happened in my damn mouth? You want to talk about my damn doormat? And now you want to bring up this candy issue and act like you give a damn? I was like, I like that, like, the ascension, you know, she's like listing the things that Marlo's doing to her. It, like, the doormat's number two. Like it's like, oh, first you talk about me not being a real vegan. You talk about my identity as a vegan. And then you insult my doormat. Like, the doormat's like, whoa, that's almost the final straw right there. But then
you
it gets worse.
You put the low in Marlo.
I mean, that's impressive that she could, you know, spell that far into her name. I love Portia. Like, I don't care what anybody says. Hate me all you want, people. I stand for Portia.
I love Portia, but it's funny because Portia starts doing this whole victim thing. She's like, bitch, let me tell you something. When you work really hard for something and you get something and your family's really proud, I'm like, please don't imbue all that into a doormat. Okay.
Well, that being said, that was the nicest way that she could not rip this lady's weave off, punch her in the face, and say, you listen to me, you old fucking slag who's never gotten anything from a day's work in your life, you old man fucking mansion swallowing whore. How dare you come at me? Okay, ho.
Are you talking about Marlo? Portia was, because Marlo was like, I came from 5 foster homes, so don't talk to me about like, you worked your ass off and now you got a doormat and the doormat. I came from 5 foster homes.
A lot of people came from bad childhoods and still got goddamn jobs. Marlo coming at anybody or their money when she's fucking some 80-year-old for a Bentley, I just can't with that.
Listen, I can. I honestly think, like, going through foster homes, that's not easy. That's a hard thing to go through.
Well, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying, like, in a current fight about a welcome mat.
I'm just saying, I feel like if I'm going to, like, I mean, Marlo is no great upstanding citizen, and she is not, she's not anything I ever aspire to be. But if you're going to, like, compare, like, the pain that, the travails you've gone through to get a doormat versus what Marlo has gone through to get out of a foster system.
She's not comparing them. Marlo's attacking her at dinner for no reason over something that's none of her fucking business and making her cry in front of everybody.
Well, Marlo's saying that, like, when Portia says, like, you don't know what it's like to work hard and you finally get something nice. Well, Marlo's saying, no, I mean, I've been through shit too. I persevered too. Like, don't talk to me about persevering because I persevered.
Well, Marlo started it, and she should shut up. She's the one attacking somebody and bringing them down. Marlo's. So I'm not about to, like, jump on Marlo's side for making somebody cry. Fuck her, man. I'm not going to take away what she went through in her childhood or whatever. That has nothing to do with anything current. Marlo's starting everything. She's doing it. And I have to say, at least she's trying to get a job.
Well, I think that Marlo totally started it, and no, I'm not like, I actually defend you know, Marlo is just trying to like get under Portia's skin. But I do think though that when Portia starts talking about like, you know, talking about hardship and getting through hardship, and then you know, I think Marlo has a point when she says, I've been through 5 foster homes. Like, don't talk to me about hardship right now. Okay. Although Portia did go through that awful marriage with, what's his face?
Look, I cannot with people using their past pain and current fights. Like, that's a winning, like, that's an actual thing that's gonna win an argument.
That's what Portia's doing.
No,
that's what
she's Portia's not. Doing. She's saying you don't know what she's being attacked. She's every time she shows up with these girls, she's trying to have a fun time, and every time they make her fucking cry. Every single time. And now here comes Marlo making her cry again. That's gotta be fucking pressure.
Wait a second. Portia's crying because they shaded her doormat. Okay.
No, Portia's like, crying because she's at her breaking point, and she's got 5 women screaming at her face that she's not a good friend because she didn't yell at Kim Zolciak for Nini. That's why she's crying.
She's crying because the breaking point was Cynthia saying, I mean, yes, she is at her breaking point, but like, you know, she's crying over a doormat still through and through. Like, she's still crying about a doormat. Like, yes. My mom gave me a doormat and it's sentimental. Like, you just got that house. Okay. If that doormat were from your childhood, maybe it was. Maybe we need to know the story about the doormat, but I'm assuming it probably came from Marshall's and it like was recently purchased in the past 4 months.
I just don't. I think what I took from it, I know this is going beyond words, but what I took from this is she's just being attacked by a bunch of mean fucking girls, you know? And now they're going down to even attacking her fucking welcome mat, you know? It's like, fuck off.
I mean, you have a point. You do have a point. I mean, I could see
and
myself.
And she didn't hit anybody, and she didn't drag anybody by the weave, and you know Marlo was waiting for that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you do have a point. I mean, I could see myself crying if someone made fun of some petty shit like that, where I'm like, why can't you just let me live my life, you know? But that being said, is that Portia, when they do make these points, Portia doesn't seem to ever understand the points, you know? They do seem to go out of their way to be like, well, this is what you did to Candy last year. But I think they keep saying it, as Nini says later.
It's none of their fucking business at this point. Nini's coming after her. Marlo's coming after her. She's already spoken with at this point, that is done. It's between Candy and Portia. You don't just get to come at me for every fight I ever had with my roommate, you know, from 10 years ago. You know, that's
I'd like to. If I may.
But it's just no, enough. Yeah, it's not Marlo's fucking fight. Too. And I'm sick of hearing it from all these women because I don't have enough fucking life to talk about on
their
own, you know?
You know, I say that's probably true too, but I also feel like Portia probably has dragged them into it and has been like talking to them about, I'm just trying to get in good with Candy, da 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 da.
Well,
it's
Mama
like,
Joyce
well,
can go to lunch with Portia. The rest of you all can shut the fuck up. Okay, yeah. Now all of that soapbox and anger that I just had, this is like I said about Marlo, when you're like, they're so nice. Why could anybody ever hate them? Then we get to the real Portia under, because she goes, she's made Marlo lose it, because now Marlo is just like saying nonsense, you know, like Nini, when Nini gets too mad and she's like bloop brr, donk donk donk, nah. Like what? So then we get to the real Portia and she goes,
you better watch out, because I know every low down dirty thing you done to your hero Nini, and I could ruin her, but I won't, because Nini told me that in confidence.
And I was like, ooh, so Portia is holding out some
blackmail. I thought that was later on. But either way, because they're talking and Marlo just loses it and she just grabs Portia's fan, just pulls it out of her hand. And then it's like, oh, tense. And they all stand up. And it's a whole bunch of like, you know, chaos, etc. And everyone has to be separated. And, you know, and of course, Candy is the first one to mention that when Marlo pulled the fan out of Portia's hand, that's exactly what Portia did when Kenya had the scepter at the reunion, you know? So turnabout
was
fair play.
The scepter was directly in Portia's face, and the fan was directly in Portia's face. At least Portia had some personal space, and I will stand by that.
I mean, the fan was, it's hard to say. I don't think the fan was as rude as the scepter, but the fan was still, it was still pretty rude. And especially when you're dealing with an animal like Marlo, you know? I mean, no one is right in this situation. No one is right. I'm not even sure if they knew what they were arguing about at that point. But all I know is that the women had to be separated outside. And Candy was Candy was getting mad because she's like, see, now, Riley, I'm always getting dragged into situations no matter what they always making about me, and I just want to eat my tapas, Riley.
And then Marla's just spouting off nonsense. She goes, you can't even spell vegan backwards.
She does. It's on the welcome mat. Maybe you should have noticed it. Why I said Negev. But, you know, the thing is, you know, the funny thing with Candy is that she's always talking about how she's getting dragged into this because, as we've been saying, anytime anything happens, they're like, well, Portia, like, you should have done the, like, that's like what you do with Candy, Like, Candy's always getting dragged into it. But the funny thing, and Candy's like, I'm always getting dragged into it. But she doesn't do anything to stop being dragged. She doesn't say, listen, guys, leave me out of it. It's my issue. She loves it because this is all Portia's punishment. That's the way Candy operates. She's like, you made your bed and now you have to lie in it. And that's what happens.
Yeah. And from Candy's point of view, she deserves it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She
probably does. Yeah.
So Sheree's like, oh, now Marla's trying to make it seem like it was the Candy thing. Oh, no. Oh, no. Marla was wrong on all levels. Portia can't catch a break with these girls. Which, you know, I kind of agree with. I mean, Portia, I've already gone on about how right and or wrong Portia is throughout the seasons, but this is just getting to be a little bit much with Portia for me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And by the way, while they're all, like, yapping away and screaming, etc., I loved watching all the Europeans walking by looking so confused, like, who are these people? Just, like, staring, like, walking by, like, what? Like, just, like, like a European rubbernecking.
Yeah, they're like, confused. What the hell is happening here? I don't know why they're Russian. They're Russian in my mind.
What the hell is happening here? It's a bunch of Eastern European tourists.
So some of them get in the car and go back to the hotel, and Candy's, or the house, and Candy's walking in. She goes, we need to tell this lady to get a bigger mat. So
the funny thing is, by the way, is that I'm actually in the market for a doormat. So this was really hilarious to me.
So after some talks with their significant others, it's a big, nice heart to heart with Portia and Nini, where Nini gives that face where she's just like her whole face is in her hand. And she's like, yeah. It's like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
And Portia's like, I have decided it. I cannot put myself through the torturousness of the friendship of the bloody blah. I have given so much. It's like, okay, Portia, reel it in.
She's like, I am sick of being walked all over like a doormat. That's not the right size. You can walk all over me all as much as you want, but you're not going to let her feed on me because I'm a small doormat.
And Nini's like, well, I understand where you're coming from. And she goes,
you do?
And then we get a montage of everybody telling off Nini. And every single time, Nini fucking deserved it too, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the lesson that should be learned. And Nini starts saying things about sisterhood and going through the low points and the high points. At this point, Nini's just thrilled because, A, Portia's showing that she needs her. So Nini feels relevant. So she's happy with Portia again. And B, you know, she's got to get her allies now, and she's got to win Portia in the battle for, you know, because Portia's in between Kim and Nini. So Nini's got to win over Portia again if she wants to go for the long haul against Kim.
Yeah, none of those girls going to stand by you, girl. They're one of them.
Yeah, so basically Portia wants to leave the trip, and Nini tells Portia, listen, everyone just wants you to say I fucked up. That's all you need to do. No one feels like you've really been accountable. And, you know, you just have to say I fucked up. And
has Nini ever, like, said that once in this entire fucking series in 10 years ever?
Of course not. Of course not. I think she's right. I mean, I think they're both right because Portia's like, I went to everyone individually. I thought that meant something. But I, you know, there's just an intangible way of when someone takes ownership of something. It's hard to say what it is, but sometimes you just need to hear someone say, listen, I fucked up, Lesher. I fucked up. And I think that she hasn't really had that ownership. So even though she did talk to Candy one-on-one and she's like, I accept whatever, she still is like, I believe too hard a friend. I believe it. Just say you fucked up.
Yeah. Well, good luck. It's a housewife show. You could be waiting a while.
Yeah, exactly. So it looks like Portia is leaving. Who knows? I hope she doesn't leave the trip. I hope she's still around next week. But I do like that when the gang left the villa to go to the hotel, they all go, bye, Mildew. Bye, Mildew.
Bye, twin bed.
Bye, twin bed. Did I push together like I was at a lake house?
Well, that brings us to the end of a really long-ass episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta. We sure love you, Atlanta. Everybody, yeah. Go over to watchwhatcrappens.com to get live show tickets and merch. And we will see you tomorrow with some Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
Boy.
Bye.
Welcome to Bose Recommends. This is the place to discover your new favorite podcast. Every week, we listen to hundreds of shows to bring you our favorites. And this is one we think you're going to love.
Hello there. I'm Pete Donaldson, and I'm a member of the four-man football extravaganza that is the Football Ramble. We want to say a big thanks to Bose for giving us the chance to be part of Bose Recommends, for supporting us and many other new and up-and-coming podcasts. We really do appreciate it. Every week on the Football Ramble, me and my three Ramble compadres cast an eye, 8 eyes in fact, over the footballing issues of the day. From Chelsea loanees to haircuts, from baby teeth to VAR, to the Michael Essien statue and trebuchets, a personal favourite. If Bose recommends the Football Ramble, shouldn't you be listening? Take a shufti and subscribe to the Football Ramble on Acast, iTunes, or your favourite podcast provider.
That was this week's Bose Recommends, the place to discover your new favourite show. If you want to find out how you can enjoy podcasts and even better sound quality, visit bose.co.uk. Bose, get closer.
I'm Ian Dell from Chemion Technology. We export all over the world. We got a big inquiry in from Italy for our insect repellent. Knowing absolutely nothing, speaking hardly a word of the language, the Department for International Trade have helped us out directly with finance and support with market knowledge and market studies. Jumping on a plane to see that Italian customer was probably the best business decision we ever made. If we can, you can. Search Exporting is Great.